From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, you're paying to bring illegals here, the government colluding with your bank, and Dr. Albert Mohler joins us. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. In the midst of an illegal alien invasion, it was discovered this past week that the U.S. government has been funneling your tax dollars to non-governmental organizations in order to assist illegals in getting in our country. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about it was Representative Lance Gooden of Texas. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Gooden, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Congressman, what have you found out?
Well, you know, we found out what we've known all along, and that is the United States government, sadly, under the direction of this president, is paying non-governmental organizations to facilitate the invasion of our southern border. And that's been going on since he took office, since he rolled back all the executive orders that President Trump put into place. We had relative peace at the border, and what we've had now is this incentivization of these migrants to come across the border, and these government organizations are also, these NGOs are also incentivized because they're making money for every crosser, everyone that they go down and, quote, take in and help to get across and help to get on an airplane or a bus to wherever it is they're going. They're getting paid by the government, which is crazy to me and crazy to most Americans when they learn how this works. And that's what we what we've seen as the unfortunate fruits of this horrible plan are tragic murders such as Lake and Riley's. We see a rise in crime across our nation, and what these NGOs are doing are facilitating all of this. They're doing it in the name of a good Christian intent, and that is to take care of those who need help. But what they're doing, by going down to the border and passing out gift cards and saying, if you can just cross this border, we'll help you go to wherever you're going, then they're actually making this problem worse, and they're making money off the American taxpayer to do it, and that's what they don't want to talk about. And so when I ask for documents to say, show me what are you doing, how much are you spending, how many folks are you helping to get across the border and spread across the United States, they don't want to talk about it. Covenant House is one of them. Catholic Charities is a huge offender and the biggest recipient of taxpayer dollars. They've received billions with a B over the years to set up shop on the border and help facilitate this crisis. None of them want to talk about it when you ask them questions.
On the other side of the border, that would be called a coyote.
That's what they're doing. And, you know, they say people like me are wrong to criticize, that we don't know what we're talking about. And my response is if what you're doing is so great, then why do you refuse to answer any of the questions that members of Congress ask of you? We've sent letters asking for information. They don't want to discuss it because what they don't want is the American people to understand just how bad things are, how many of these NGOs are bankrolling their operation with taxpayer dollars and helping to fund this invasion.
So is there no accountability or oversight of the NGOs getting this federal money?
Well, as long as Joe Biden is in the White House and encouraging it, I don't believe there is, no. And, you know, it's so deceptive because the president will stand up and say that Republicans are standing in the way. If they would just give me more money for border security, then we'd have an easier time down at the border. But what he's not telling you is he doesn't want money for border security. He wants money to process migrants. There's no desire on the part of this White House to actually stem the flow of these crossings, and that's what our problem is, and
right.
That's why we've had this tragic murder. That's why we have members of the terrorist watch list coming across, and these are just the ones that get caught. We have no idea who's coming across our southern border. The olden days of people coming from Mexico just to have a better life, those days have passed. Yes, the crossers do include those good people that are looking for a better life, but frankly, we don't know who's coming across the
right.
border. When you see 50,000 military-aged male Chinese nationals coming across, you see people coming from places like Yemen. This is the country that's firing missiles up and down the Red Sea on our ships. They're sending folks across the southern border. The Iranians are doing it. It's terrible. It's going to only get worse. And the only way that this Biden White House does anything is if there's enough political pressure or some polling data showing them that they've just got to take some kind of action before November.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Thanks so much. Very insightful. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. Take care. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You can find out more about Congressman Gooden when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But we need your help to keep going. With your support, we can continue to equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Will you consider partnering with us today? To give, text the word GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday, prior to the State of the Union, Tony Perkins had a concerning conversation with Representative Warren Davidson about his committee's hearing on how the government is colluding with banks to mine your personal data. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Davidson, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Tony, it's always an honor to join you. Thanks for highlighting this.
Well, it's scary. So what did you learn today?
Well, I hope that the public learned what, you know, some of us have been trying to work on for a long time. And frankly, one of the great things about the Weaponization Committee is it kind of puts it in the right context. So I've been on the Financial Services Committee since 2017, and you start looking at all the layers of why are things broken the way they are. And there's this Bank Secrecy Act that, you know, is supposed to keep us safe. You use the Bank Secrecy Act to kind of catch terrorism, money laundering, illicit finance, tax evasion, things like that. So they do have sort of this loophole, though, because they implemented this in 1970, and it essentially circumvents the Fourth Amendment. So there's this giant void in your data collection. And what they can do with it is more limited. So if you remember back a couple of years ago, the Biden administration wanted to start surveilling your bank account for $600 of activity a year and share that directly with the IRS. I think what people are seeing now is they already surveil your accounts and can do essentially unlimited surveillance on your accounts with the rules they have in place. The question is, can they use it in court? And that's really where they're after for a lot of these things. And they kind of build the case from the back end forward. And we were highlighting that in today's hearing.
You know, Congressman, I'm seeing a pattern here. But last time you were on, we were discussing FISA, the reauthorization of Section 702 of FISA that allows the government to eavesdrop and spy on Americans. I mean, and it's all done in the name of trying to keep us safe. Same thing you just laid out here for our financial data. But it's being abused, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the Fourth Amendment's there on purpose. And there's a reason it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Foreigners aren't protected by our Constitution the way American citizens are. And there's a reason there's not a Domestic Surveillance Act. It's because the Fourth Amendment says that we as citizens have an expectation of privacy. You're supposed to have to get a warrant or a subpoena to go after an American, which doesn't mean that you can't find out this information, but it does say that they have to have reasonable suspicion about you. They can't just do this blanket like, well, I don't know who was in Washington, D.C. on this day. Well, who was here? Who was here? And they build the case from that end. They'll literally say, we're querying the database, which is a synonym for searching. But they'll say, no, that's very different. Because once we go to search, we get a search warrant. So they'll query the database and they build the database. How does the data even get into the database? They do it with multiple ways in FISA. That's a different issue. But with the Bank Secrecy Act, FinCEN, Financial Crimes Investigation Network, will direct the banks to basically, here's how you spy on your customers better for us. And if you don't do a good job, the regulators will come in and shut your bank down.
So, I mean, all of this kind of is was triggered by January 6th. That's where they're going after all this information. But it exposes something. I mean, this, as you said, this wasn't just something that they thought of on January the 6th. They had the ability. They had already been communicating with these financial institutions. So how broadly have they been using this information?
I mean, very broadly. So frankly, the whistleblower came forward because he worked in the Boston FBI office. And he said, hey, what I saw is we were targeting people that happened to be in Washington, D.C. on January 5th, 6th, and 7th. And then they started building from there, like who had a financial transaction on this date. And if they had financial transactions on this date, what other things did they buy? Did they use transactions in certain stores? And they started highlighting red flags like, oh, you might have gone to Cabela's or Bass Pro. You might have purchased anything related to a firearm. You might have purchased religious material, yeah, including
Well, let me ask you about what's the religious material? I mean, we're talking about two constitutionally protected rights there, Second Amendment and the First Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, look, the FBI had this crazy notion that pro-life Catholics were domestic, violent domestic extremists. And once they categorize you as that, then they basically get special powers. It's one of the exceptions where, oh, you don't actually have to worry about the Fourth Amendment anymore because they're this domestic violent extremist, and they get this tag on the data, and now they can do all sorts of things to go after you. So that's what they're after, is to find any kind of hook, and they come up with, you know, things that the courts should automatically just say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
So
they avoid getting to the courts by these tags.
So, Congressman Davidson, what's the solution here? What are we going to do to fix this?
I mean, we have to change the law fundamentally. The Bank Secrecy Act is very flawed. It has been for a long time. There's court decisions related to that that created this idea of a third-party doctrine. And if that were broadly applied, it effectively completely nullifies the Fourth Amendment right to privacy. And this comes into play as we're talking about FISA right now. So, look, Speaker Johnson pulled the debate that we were supposed to have on FISA. And the Judiciary Committee, in a rare set of events, you had Jim Jordan and Jerry Nadler agreeing that the government needs to get a warrant. So, you know, people on the left and right might disagree for different reasons about why the government's broken, but we agree, hey, the Constitution's supposed to protect citizens. The intel community, on the other hand, is asking to expand the surveillance on Americans. They want to add Wi-Fi hotspots and more about collections and everything to get at more expansive data, to add more things to the database. And those ideas deserve a debate, and they deserve a recorded vote. So we hope Speaker Johnson will give us that vote.
Very quickly, will you find that same bipartisan effort to amend this financial law to protect the information and transactions of Americans?
I hope so. And we're working on a Payment Privacy Act that goes with this in my Committee on Financial Services. But if you judge by the Weaponization Committee, there is no such thing as bipartisanship. And unfortunately, Democrats on that committee tend to focus only on January 6th, kind of like the do-over of the January 6th Commission. And the reality is this is more bipartisan than you would judge from the Weaponization Committee.
Well, Congressman Warren Davidson, I want to thank you for coming on and staying focused on these important matters. Always great to talk with you.
Definitely an honor. Thank you, Tony. God bless you and your viewers.
You can find out more about Warren Davidson when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch, we were honored to host Dr. Albert Moeller, the president of Southern Seminary, to talk about the media's push to paint people of faith as the derogatory Christian nationalist. Here's Tony Perkins with his introduction of Dr. Moeller.
With Super Tuesday, now behind us, and all signs pointing to former President Donald Trump as the likely Republican nominee for president, evangelical voters will be essential to his return to the White House. Now, they're a key vote for Republican candidates. Last time, they were a large portion of President Trump's vote. In fact, in 2020, the Sage Cons, that's the core, were over a third of his vote. Now, this reality can only mean that the left will ramp up their voter suppression efforts. How do they do that? Well, one of them is by labeling Christians who were involved in the political process as Christian nationalists. We saw this recently with the Politico smear against Christians, both online and through appearances on cable news channels. So the legacy media has shown that any conservative Christian involved in the political process will be labeled as a Christian nationalist. Join me now to discuss this and much more, Dr. Albert Mohler. He is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's the author of many books, including Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, The Explosive Power of Jesus' Parable. Dr. Mohler, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you. And wow, what an historic day. Lots to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. And I want to start, on your daily briefing, you've talked about this, and it's a couple weeks old, so I want to refresh this for the benefit of our, I've been wanting to get you on, but you've been traveling. So I want to, the benefit of our viewers and listeners, I want to play this clip of Heidi Prisabella, who works for Politico, but was on MSNBC and made this comment. Play the clip, please.
The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalist is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men are determining what God is telling them.
Dr. Mohler, your response.
Well, you know, first of all, there's just such stupidity in that, to be honest. There's just no other word for it. As if all of a sudden she's discovered that Christians believe that human dignity and human rights come from the Creator, which, by the way, is exactly what says, as you so well know, in the Declaration of Independence. You know, yeah, the entire American system is built upon respect for rights, not the invention of rights.
I had no idea that Thomas Jefferson was a Christian nationalist.
Well, Thomas Jefferson is even more surprised than you are. Yeah, in the sense that this is being thrown out as a radical idea. And, you know, it is a really important thing, Tony, as you know, historically, because if you look at the American Revolution, it was a revolution of sorts based upon continuity of a belief in human dignity coming from a divine creator and human rights, that we're endowed with rights by the Creator, as contrasted with what came later in the French Revolution, which was a very secular revolution, right, in which you had a declaration of the rights of man as if they all of a sudden exist. So the left has gone in the French direction. And, you know, I think Prisabella's statement just makes very clear they've been in France so long, they don't even understand that the French revolutionaries were rebelling against the very claim that rights come from God.
So you're sitting in an institution of higher learning. You're at a seminary.
Yes.
Is this the outcome of the left's long march through the institutions? That she was honestly stating this. This was not like a spin, but she was stating what she thought to be truth.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. She was speaking about something she thought was spellbindingly obvious. That this is a scary group she called Christian nationalists, who actually believe that rights are derived from the Creator, from God, rather than from government. Which, by the way, in contrast, and I know we'll get to this, the scary thing is they actually think that Congress or the White House can give rights. So that's where rights come from. That's one of the most dangerous ideas
But isn't that what they have created? Isn't that why we have the controversy of abortion? It was a right that was created?
Yes, no, absolutely. And you know what just happened in France this week? With France putting abortion in their constitution, it's an acknowledgement of the fact that they're just inventing and constructing rights. Because, you know, when you put abortion in the constitution, and France is very proud, you know, that they're the first nation to do this, you're saying that abortion constitutes the nation. That's an astounding claim that, frankly, it wouldn't even have been recognizable in France 20 years ago.
But what you're doing there with this, what we would call positive law, man-made law, mm-hmm. positive law, is that you're elbowing out natural law or the moral law of God to make room for this law created by man. And then when you have a course correction, absolutely. Like we had in Dobbs, it creates all types of controversy and people will not handle it.
Right. And, you know, part of what strikes me, and you mentioned the Long March to the Institutions, that particular article, the statement made by Prisabilla there, you know, you look at that, you recognize that's exactly what the leftist academy has been teaching. And this is what's being regurgitated now, as if it makes sense. And, you know, what gets me, and look, we can be very smug and self-satisfied ourselves, just given sin, if we're not careful. But she just is so, like, as if she discovered how to split the atom. You know, she just saying, like, I just discovered this. These are very weird people. They believe that rights come from God.
But there's a bigger play here. And she's mm-hmm. just an actor on the stage. The bigger play right. here from the left is to suppress the vote and the engagement of evangelicals, right. because that's such a scary word, Christian nationalism.
Or to subvert us.
Yeah. So it's to try to keep us from engaging in the process, from being openly speaking about how, well, yes, I do believe God has given me the rights that I have, and government is to protect it. So many people are intimidated by that.
Yeah, you know, this whole conversation in which she's talking about Christians, it's not just Christians, it's Christian nationalists. I'll just say I'm old enough to have gone through the entire vocabulary of the modern conservative movement in terms of the dismissals of the left. It would have been the radical right, the Christian right, the new Christian right.
Yes.
The radical Christian right. So every few years, and she's young enough, and you see a lot of these people are so young. They actually believe this is a new thing.
I know.
The same criticisms were made against evangelicals in the age of Ronald Reagan.
So Al, it makes us all feel like we're getting old, because I remember when Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority in every election cycle, either they were scary and they were going to dominate the world, or they had no power and they were dying out. That's the narrative.
Right. And so you're exactly right. The contradiction is they say we're a dying breed, and there's more of them every day.
I know. It's crazy. All right. So last question on this, because I want to move to another topic. How should Christians deal with this? I mean, this effort to intimidate, to suppress, to redirect our cultural engagement as believers, as salt and light.
Yeah. You know, Tony, what a great question. I think we take ideas seriously. That's S-marked American conservatism as a modern movement. We take ideas seriously. So we're willing to talk about every single one of these arguments, what it means to be Christian, what it means to understand the nation, what might be rightly identified as nationalism. But we do this while telling Christians, look, this just reminds us of what's at stake. We've got not only to vote, we've got to be actively involved. This is an intentional effort to try to keep us out of the public square, or to dismiss us, or frankly, to make conservative Christians embarrassed about being conservative Christians. And that's what we know we cannot accept.
You know, I want to move now to another topic, and it's kind of why I don't think the left will ultimately be successful with everything they're pushing, just as the French Revolution failed, when they have to face reality. And now we have, I played a clip earlier, and I'll play that clip we played earlier of Governor Hochul of New York.
Mm. So today, in the wake of these latest attacks, I'm unveiling a 5-point plan to rid our subways of people who commit crimes and protect all New Yorkers. Point one, I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard.
So what happened to that defund the police movement?
Well, you know, there's a basic Christian and conservative principle you know well, Tony, and that is that order does not always precede to liberty. But liberty always requires order. And so one of the central beliefs of the conservative movement, and I think this is so deeply biblical, is that order must precede liberty. So you look at the people in New York, frankly, I just came from California, the same thing going on there. Liberal jurisdictions where, frankly, crime is recognized for exactly what it is. And the people who called out and said, you know, eliminate the police a matter of a couple years ago, they're now saying we want a policeman on every corner. We need the police. And so you have liberal politicians trying to catch up. You got all these progressive, supposedly, you know, district attorneys, some of which have been kicked out of office, and the others are frankly turning less progressive by the day, because otherwise they're going to lose their jobs, because denying crime as a problem is a very losing strategy, and in particular when you take your life in your hands to go on the subway.
Right. But here's the problem we need to the challenge we've got to stay focused on here, because this could lead to totalitarianism, because unless you have, you know, as you talked about, the order precedes liberty, you have to have self-government. And we're doing everything we can to undermine the idea of self-government, the family, the church. Those are the institutions that help instill that self-government.
That's right. That's why, again, the Christian and conservative understanding is it must be natural order. It must be the right order. And that, by the way, is an order that honors human dignity. And then again, in a secular society, they have no idea what the rightful order is. That's a part of the problem. They can't name sin. So crime is just a sociological problem. They can't name the creator. So rights are government invented. And so everything is just a matter of interest groups. And you know what? The final interest group that matters, and Governor Hochul's statement just makes that clear, are the voters. If politicians won't hear anyone else, guess what? They eventually have to hear the voters. And people in New York don't want to be mugged. They don't want to be hurt on the subways. They are crying out. Same thing I've seen in Minneapolis was just in the San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles. You know, as you know, some of these so-called progressive district attorneys that didn't want to prosecute crime, they're facing a very difficult time holding on to office. Reality hurts.
It also speaks to Christians that the truth, while it may be out of style for a season, you know, it kind of rotates back in because people move. They gravitate toward the natural law. They may not be able to articulate it, but they know that there's got to be balance.
You know, one of the longest running series on history is the Dick Wolf series, Law and Order, and it's had several derivatives. That's a very important thing from a worldview perspective. You know, there are all kinds of political debates, but at the end of the day, shows like that are popular precisely because there's a deep hunger in us for law and order. And so, you know, when you have politicians that get outside that, eventually they're going to have to answer for it. And I think it points to a very deep conviction among Christians, and that is that the rightful arrangement of law and order is necessary in order for us to exercise the liberties that are ours. I think it's a great time for conservatives to make an argument.
Yeah. I would add to that series, another long-running series on law and order was Andy Griffith, taught those same core principles, incorporated even more when it came to where do those come from? They come from the values that we have to, it begins in our home and in our relationships. And I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Mollett. This is a time for Christians to have conversations with friends, with coworkers, with neighbors. We have the truth. We shouldn't shrink back and be intimidated by the labels of the left.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're, again, the people who are willing to talk about anything. In other words, we're willing to consider arguments. But the long political arguments in human history are those that recognize the importance of law, the necessity of restraint, the value and the fragility of liberty. And, you know, it's one thing for the left to keep talking about, you know, wanting liberty for this and liberty for that. But as Governor Hochul's statement makes clear, if you don't have the liberty just to go from one end of New York to the other without believing your life is in danger, you know, all those artificial liberties they're claiming, they don't appear so important anymore.
Absolutely. But we've got to connect the dots for people to see them, let them see the progress or the process and how it plays out. Dr. Al Mohler, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Always enjoy it, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.